Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on this Thursday, January the 4th, 2024. Got it right again. I bet you thought I was going to screw it up there. 14 minutes past the hour. Having a good time here this morning. Paid tribute to Shecky Green in hour number one. Phone lines are open. If you have anything to say in regard to anything we've talked about this morning, give us a buzz, 740-751-4038. 15 minutes now past the hour, 740-751-4038, 26 degrees, mostly cloudy skies here in Marion. So far this morning, if you're just tuning in, we've talked about, we started off the morning talking about McDonald's giving me a regular pop this morning, so maybe that's where more energy is coming from. I've got the sugar flowing through my veins this morning. We paid tribute to legendary comedian Shecky Green, who passed away on Sunday at the age of 97 and a half, still trying to figure out ways to keep a poinsettia alive in the new year. When do the leaves start falling off of these poinsettias, and what happens when they do? Snow, we were talking again about snow. Apparently the storm that was supposed to happen Saturday into Sunday doesn't look like it's going to happen now. And possibly 2 inches next Tuesday. I don't know. Will people be headed to the store to buy bread and milk? I don't know. 2 inches, again, just get out your ruler, get out your tape measure, and see how much 2 inches is. Now, again, it can make roads very slick, and it can make walkways very slick. But is it going to knock your power out and keep you inside for days? Probably not. But will people go and buy their bread and milk? They probably will. But I guess that's the way it goes. And we were also talking about Groundhog Day. We've got our big thing coming up on Friday this year. Friday, February the 2nd. And there's a lot of talk about what we should do on this day. Now, I did learn yesterday that we will have Warren Groundhog Harding at the studio, in the studio that morning. And we will reveal who Warren Groundhog Harding is this year. Last year it was James Anderson. We'll figure out who it's going to be this year. But what happens here is we have a groundhog pizza, and a weather prediction is under each slice of the groundhog pizza. Half say 6 weeks or six more weeks of winter. Half say early spring. And the groundhog chooses a piece of pizza. And whatever piece he chooses becomes the weather prediction. Now, I really don't know how we're going to spruce this up. But there are some ideas of how to do this. Should we add some kind of a competition? Should we add something to do with Warren Harding? Should we add something, a different way for the groundhog to predict what is going on weather-wise? I don't know, an envelope? I don't know. It's an interesting thing. It has to do with the weather. We all love the weather. Heaven knows we're all talking about the snow. But I'll tell you this. If there's a big snowstorm on Groundhog Day, people don't go get the bread and milk that day. They will traipse themselves right out until into the snow and get whatever they will get. You know, and there is a big thing that goes on in Pennsylvania. It's an all-day festival there in Punxsutawney. So, you know, I think we've got to dress this up here in Marion. We're not going to be Punxsutawney yet, but we've got to dress this up a little bit to the point to where we've got something going on. Because, you know, after Christmas and New Year's, what do you got going on? You know, there's nothing going on for a long period of time. So we'll try our thing try to do our thing and have fun with the groundhog. But again, the phone lines are open, 740-751-4038. If you have any ideas or would like to talk about anything we've talked about this morning or anything else on your mind, we would love to hear from you this morning, 740-751-4038. You know something? I wanted to touch on this because I'm seeing a lot of pictures of this in the paper and on social media. Have you noticed the number of girls now who are wrestling in high school? And I would guess into college. I think it's kind of fascinating that this has become a thing. There was a time when a girl on a wrestling team was not a thing. And now there are whole teams of girls who compete wrestling that were not here years ago. And I remember, I don't know how many years ago it's been. It's probably been 5 or 6 years ago now. I remember when Harding had its first female wrestler. And I remember having her on the show and interviewing her and talking about the problems wrestling, the boys and things of that nature, because a lot of people didn't want her on the team. And it's kind of fascinating to think of how short of time has passed, and now you have a lot of girl wrestlers, whole teams of them. So it's interesting how things change and how quickly they change. You know, I think back to high school, and I doubt many of the girls that I went to high school with would have done that. Now, maybe that's just a different generation. I don't know. But I just wouldn't have seen that. So I don't know. Does anybody have any idea why this is happening? And not that it's a bad thing at all. I think it's great if that's what girls want to do. But there were always sports that men were thought to have the advantage in because of just genetics, physical strength, things like that. And wrestling was one of those for a long, long time, but no longer the case. A lot of girls popping up. Now, I don't know, just being bigger, I think men are just bigger, especially at that age. I don't know how this all ticks out in the meets that go on. I don't think girls just wrestle girls at this point, but could a girl be competitive with a really good boy wrestler? Maybe they could. I don't know. You know, I don't deny anything anymore. I think that anybody can do anything they want to do. And I think that's just determination. And, you know, bravo to the people who are out there doing it. If anybody has any thoughts on this, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Go ahead, caller.
I couldn't disagree with it more if I tried. All three of my sons wrestled in school, and there were times they had to wrestle girls, and I am 1,000% against that.
No, really? Now, why is that?
Well, okay, so I just think that nothing is 100%. Yeah, you'd probably have some girl out there that, you know, is, like, really strong, you know, and would be stronger than a guy her same size, but that would be an exception to the rule. I think scientifically and typically, dudes are always stronger than chicks for the most part. And, like, as a mother of three sons, I spent my, you know, whole time I was raising them trying to do my best to teach them to respect women, to be courteous to women, you don't raise your hand to a woman, you know, da-da-da-da-da. Now, how do you, in the blink of an eye, oh, forget everything I ever taught you, now I need you to slam her, hurt her, tear her up, you know, pin her?
Well, I mean, is that, now see, I guess here's the question in this whole thing. Is it different? I mean, obviously you don't hit women, and you don't, as a matter of fact, you shouldn't hit anybody. Don't get physically violent with anybody, but all sports.
No, I was always the first one to tell them not to take any crap off of anybody else. Like, I mean, if somebody's going to put their hands on you, don't come home and tell me you got whipped or I'm going to whip you.
Well, that's a different thing. Well, now, what if a girl had put their hands on them?
Okay, I mean, I know a lot of people are of the mindset that if you can hit like a man, you can get hit like a man. I don't even really like to see that. Walk away, possible, and when would it ever not be possible?
Well, I guess what I'm thinking here, because I am seeing the proliferation of female wrestlers. It used to be one or two or three maybe were out there. Now there are a whole squad of this going on. And if they want to do it, it's a sport. There are rules. You know, why is that bad? I don't think it's the same.
So fundamentally, at the beginning of my argument, would you agree or disagree that typically men are stronger than women?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that genetically that probably...
Okay, so but, step one, it's an unfair advantage. That young man has testosterone coursing through his veins when she's got estrogen. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, he's going to be built to the... If they worked out... possibly could. Pound for pound, he's probably just going to have more muscle mass. I mean, it's just the way God made men and God made women. There's a difference. I don't care who you are or what you say, just that anatomically, scientifically, genetically is how it is. And but I'm like one of them old school types of people. I still believe like there's men and there's women. I don't do that whole wishy-washy stuff.
Well, I guess
can I just pepper in one more part two of my argument?
Yeah, go ahead.
Didn't you wrestle when you were in high school?
No, I didn't. I didn't.
Okay. Well, like I said, as a mother of three wrestlers, you're going to be touched, grabbed, all that in every when you're like nobody plays wrestling. You know, you can't hide behind other teammates. There's no, let's all just chase the ball around. Like, it's a very hands-on, one-on-one, mano-a-mano. Like, if I'm a young pubescent girl, you know, maybe, you know, it's that time of the month or something like that, I don't want some dude accidentally grabbing my breast or my crotch.
Well, here's what I would say to that. That I think that the girl who joins the team obviously knows these genetical issues. I think the girl obviously knows what part she has and what part she doesn't have. And I would also say the same thing with guys, to be honest with you. And you know, on a morning show, trying not to get too much into the anatomical conversation here. But, I mean, boys wear a cup for a reason, and I'm sure that things do brush up. And you know what? Where are two boys... And again, nothing wrong. I'm not trying to offend any communities here, LGBTQ or whatever it is. But, I mean, where are two boys going to get half naked and roll around on a mat other than in a wrestling meet who are heterosexual? I mean, it is...
Well, for me, as, like, the protector of the boys, like, you know, it's a lose-lose for them. If they beat her... and they win, well, it was a girl, you know what I'm saying? Or if she whips them, you got beat by a girl. It's a lose-lose. Like, if they slam her and hurt her and she cries, you need to understand something. I literally, I don't mean to brag, but my oldest son and my youngest son, they were, like, ridiculously good. And, like, to the point I've literally seen referees have to stop matches and squeegee up blood. And it wasn't my kids that were bleeding. And they have the power to do that to their equal. You take someone that's not even as strong as them, they're going to hurt her, like, and bad. But then it's not like, oh, cool, way to go, sport. Now she's going to start bawling and squalling, and then they're the bad guys. And then to that I say, poo-poo.
Well, now, let me flip this for a second, though.
Well, hold on. I got to go pay some bills, but I just want to pepper this in here, too. I thought it was cute that with my whole Blizzard menu, the only thing that we took fault with was the ramen noodles. Like, was the chocolate in the Slim Jims and Mountain Dew healthy? I think not. The whole thing was hit in the mouth.
It's health food galore.
Why don't I go buy some Raisin Bran? Talk to you later, Scott.
Okay, bye-bye. Gotta go buy some Raisin Bran. It sounded like she had something in her mouth there at the end. I don't know if that was a Slim Jim or the Mountain Dew or the ramen noodles. All right, 74038. No, I gave you the wrong number. Now, I can get the year right, but I can't get the number right. 740-751-4038. The conversation, girls and wrestling, it's becoming a big thing in high school. Now, the point I wanted to make there was, at the end of that conversation, that if a girl wants to going in, I mean, can we really object to this? And also, let's say a boy wants to be a cheerleader. Now, I don't think this is going to put him in physical damage, physical harm's way, but maybe he'll get made fun of. I don't know. I don't know what goes on anymore. What if a boy wanted to play volleyball, or a boy wanted to play softball, or something like that, typically female sports? Do we still have a divide here? And if many girls get into wrestling, should we say that there should be women's divisions? Because, I mean, usually a high school has a boys' basketball team and a girls' basketball team. I don't know. Basketball seems to be the only one that is separated like that. Now, you could say baseball is, because you'd say baseball's for the boys and softball's for the girls. I don't know. Football certainly doesn't go that way. But I think there have been females on football teams. I just don't know how you can deny somebody if they want to do it. That would be the question. How do you deny somebody if they want to do it? 740-751-4038. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott. In light of Governor DeWine's recent decision to veto, what's your opinion on biological males who identify as females competing in female sports?
You know, honestly, I don't really have much of an opinion on that. That whole thing to me is just, I think it's a, I'm not really sure why it's become such a big issue to where former President Trump is criticizing DeWine, where DeWine felt he had to veto something. Why is this a big thing?
Well, probably because they win.
Oh, you mean the biological males who are competing in female sports?
Oh, yeah. If you look into that, they had that swimmer, I mean, you name it, wrestlers, they're winning. And I think that that's causing some consternation amongst the female athletes. So, yeah.
But now, see, here's what I don't understand. Why is this not being made on a school-to-school level? Because as we're just talking about with the women wrestling, and you've had to see this, that there are, I mean, I think there are schools now that have whole teams of female wrestlers. And what's strange about it to me is that if they sign up for that, I mean, how can you deny it?
To limit it to biological women?
Well, I mean, biological anything. I mean, let's say in that regard, let's say in the wrestling realm, because I don't think that this whole Governor DeWine decision was specifically or even encompassed in wrestling, but let's take that argument. Let's say it's a biological male who is identifying as a female, I guess is the way they're doing it here, and they join the wrestling team. Now, if they win, is there a problem there?
Well, I think amongst those biological female athletes, if they're, you know, and I don't know how they do it, do they separate the wrestling across the state by gender?
You know, not that I know of. When I interviewed the girl 5 years ago, she was wrestling boys. Now, I don't know if that's changed or not.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's because they wouldn't have enough to field, like a conference or, you know, individual teams if they separated them. But even if they did, and I think they do in certain areas of the country, I think that's the problem, is that you have biological males who identify as females that are then competing in those female sports, and they're dominating. So, Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I guess the solution is just to say that everybody is exactly 100% equal in every way, and there's no differences at all, and then let them win if they win.
Well, I think what is puzzling to me, because this seems to be a sports issue, it doesn't seem to be happening in other areas of life. What I'm confused about is, when you sign up for a sport, you know what that sport is. And some people, I mean, male, male, female, male, female, female, some people are just going to be better than other people. I assume there's some technique in wrestling. People practice. There's got to be some technique there somewhere. So if there is some technique, you're always going to have people better than you. You're always going to have people not as good as you. So if you are the one, it's voluntary. Nobody's being made to do any of these things. If you're going to do it, then I don't understand if you don't win because of some of these biological reasons we're talking about. What's the big deal? I mean, you're the one who signed up, and people don't always win anyway.
Well, I think that one side would argue that it's skewing the game because it is ignoring those biological differences. But we live in a society now where we have a Supreme Court justice who couldn't define biological differences between a man and a woman. So that is the consensus of opinion amongst the intelligentsia, is that there are no differences at all. So I guess, yeah, let everybody have at it, and whoever happens to win, then they win, I guess.
But doesn't everybody, isn't it, no matter what sport it is, isn't there always an upper hand? I mean, let's talk about wrestling, because that's what we're talking about here today, because that's a very physical sport, I think. Now, let's say you are a family who has money, and you can afford private trainers, and you can afford, or maybe, let's say your father wrestled, or your mother wrestled, and they can give you tips, or let's say you can afford to go to the gym. Or let's say you have a car where somebody else doesn't have a car and they can go to the gym and can afford that membership, and that they really go all in on these camps and can afford these camps that go on in the summer. Now, isn't that person going to have an unfair advantage over the person who doesn't have access to that?
Only if you assume that they are otherwise 100% equal, and then I suppose yes. But that's the problem with athletics in particular, is so much of it is genetic differences. I will never, nor could I ever, have been a long-distance runner. So no matter how much I try, now I might improve relative to where I am today by training and working out, but I would not be competitive. And the same can be said for many people in many different athletic competitions. But there again, that's what we, today we are made to think that there are absolutely no differences between people when they're born. So,
well, I don't know.
If you go with that assumption, then it's just a matter of, I guess, effort.
Well, I think that clearly everybody, most people would say that there are differences when we're born. I guess what I'm saying is when sports are voluntary, and this is the position you want to be in, and for whatever reason you want to do it, like you just said, you would not be a long-distance runner. You know your limitation there, and you are not going to do that. I think that the girls and the guys, there are guys who would never want to wrestle, have no interest in that at all, because they feel they would not be good, or they just don't want to do it. That's not their thing. And they're not going to sign up to do that. And I'm not sure if somebody wants to do something and it's voluntary. Now, if you're being forced to do it, then I think that's a different story.
But if you're not being forced, I'm not sure what the issue is. Because, I mean, it's not like these things are happening in dark rooms. I mean, they're in big areas. They're at meets. There are people watching. A lot of times your parents are there. It's not like this is not being seen by people.
Well, I guess it goes to what is the purpose of, I guess, the moral of athletic competition.
Well,
it's to win. It's to learn valuable lessons along the way, teamwork, you know, if it's a team competition. But if it's an individual, then the ultimate desire should be to win. So when you are competing in a field, you want everything to be as fair of a competition as possible. So in the olden days, up until, I guess, probably the last 10 years, humanity recognized that there are biological differences, and they accounted for those by setting up men's sports and women's sports. But over the last 10 years, we have done a 180 change. So now we say that there are no differences. At least we've completely radically changed our opinion on that. We may still acknowledge in certain sects that there are, but then you have these biological differences that are then discounted by saying, well, I identify as this, so now I am a member of this group.
Well, this is not a popular thing, certainly in Marion, Ohio, to be identifying as anything. That, clearly, I'm sure if you polled society, they would not be in favor of that. But I think the problem is, on the whole, that let's say an overweight, obese person who cannot run 10 feet without being out of breath, and there are kids in high school like that.
Don't talk about me like
that. I know. It's one of those things. wants to be on the football team. And this is a male. And the coach says, no, you're not. We're playing to win. And if I cut somebody to put you on the team, we don't have as great a chance to win. So you can't be on the team. Well, I mean, what's the difference than a female saying, I want to be on the team? I don't think it's the greatest. We have the greatest chance to win here, so I'm going to cut you. But if the coach allows it, and you allow it, and you know what you're getting in for, or getting into, I mean, aren't there wrestling coaches? Don't people get cut? Doesn't somebody have to allow these women on the team?
I don't even know that really we do cut anymore. We've gone from a society that was based on meritocracy to one that is based on identity. And I think that has done a disservice. I mean, look at all the sports competitions, you know, for youth and stuff. It's everybody gets a trophy. Everybody gets to play. You know, instead of teaching those kids the valuable lessons that, yeah, hard work will... you will get rewarded for hard work and natural ability. Now, you may work hard, but you don't have that natural ability, so as hard as you work and as much as you try, you may not succeed. But that in itself is a life lesson, because then that individual may work, you know, look into other fields and find what they excel at.
You know what my biggest pet peeve with this whole thing is on the whole? Is that if I go to social media and I'm not interacting with these people all the time, now I will see that they won at their wrestling meet, that their football team did well, that their basketball team did well. I will see their extracurriculars. I will see that they took ribbons with 4-H and they did things with FFA. I'll see all that, and you know, that's great. I can't remember the last time I saw, hey, I got a 4.0. Hey, I got an A on the exam. Hey, my daughter or son passed all their exams. Don't see a whole lot of that.
Well, that is a reflection of what the society values. I mean, sports is this country's religion. If you were an alien, you came down and you saw the giant coliseums with rabid fanatic fans on Sundays and on Saturdays across this country. And then just go. I don't know. A couple years ago, I was at a bar and grill, and I was seated. I was by myself, and there was a group of guys up at the bar, and they were rattling off football statistics and, you know, historical and, you know, this player and just the amount of information that they just spewed out. And I assume that it was all correct and factual, was impressive. And the passion that they all spoke with, that's something. But then I'm sure if you ask them, you know, on a map, can you show me where Canada is, they probably couldn't do it. Or if you were to say, you know, who was the vice president 3 terms ago, they probably couldn't do it. So it's a reflection on this country's values and culture. And it is fascinating because it's definitely changed dramatically over the past. I mean, how long has the National Football League been around? 70 years?
Something like that.
You know, and you look at any of our professional sports, and it used to be that, I think Don Kay played for the Cleveland Browns. He was a longtime coach for Pleasant Football in their heyday in the 70s. And he wasn't a millionaire, you know, because back then, the NFL, you didn't make millions, you know, even adjusted for inflation, you did not make millions upon millions of dollars. And that was more of a reflection on, I think, this country's values than anything else.
Well, I think the values are important because, like I say, I think social media, for all its negatives, is a good barometer of what people care about. And I see a lot of sports stuff in regard to people's kids. And I also see a lot of financial. Look what I just bought. Look what I got for this. Look what I got for my birthday. Look what I got for Christmas. And look at my new car. And I think it's kind of interesting because that's fine. I'm not begrudging anybody anything new or winning a game or doing well. I think that's very good. But I don't know where the grades are. I don't know where the I did a good deed for somebody is. I don't know where those altruistic things are, because if you're driven by simply sports and money, if those are the two things that are making you happy in life, I certainly think that says something about you. And you know, people can make their own judgments on it, but I certainly think that's an insight into your happiness and personality.
It definitely is. And I get it. I mean, people want to release. I mean, there are a lot of stressors out there. And I think a lot of it is, as we've discussed before, that people don't feel that they have any power or influence on things. So you seek that release. And I've mentioned bread and circuses. I mean, that was a common thing in ancient Rome to pacify the people, was to provide them bread so that they could sustain themselves and to give them the circus or, you know, gladiatorial games. And that's kind of where we are today. Where as long as people have food, a roof over their head, and entertainment, either digital or, you know, through professional sports, they are, for the most part, pacified. And, you know, when that is your focus, I guess pacification, you don't really care that much about acknowledging scholastic achievement or good deeds or community involvement or anything like that.
Well, I guess on a final note on this, and we've kind of covered the bases here, but it's always fascinating to me, and maybe it's on my mind because it seems now that New Year's is over, the stores have been barraged with Valentine's Day stuff. You see a lot of red and pink in the store right now. And what's fascinating to me is that when people go away for, you know, I'll take you away for the weekend. Let's go away for Valentine's Day. Let's go away for your birthday. Let's do something this weekend. You know, nobody ever seems to catch on that this is, if the person was alone, would they be doing that? Probably not. That this is kind of a, again, a financial, I don't want to say bribe, because I don't think it's that, but I think it's a financial gain that gives people a personal gain. And nobody ever catches that. Nobody ever gets that. I mean, it's always missed, and I'm not really sure why. I don't know if we're a naive society. I was having this conversation with Matt and Carrington last night. I was with both of them, and I said, you know, it's not good to hear things that you don't want to hear sometimes, and it's also not good to sometimes not be able to go to something that you want to go to. But that's probably the person who's being the most honest with you, because they're risking that friendship or relationship because they're not trying to, I guess, buy you off.
In the context of Valentine's Day?
Yeah.
Or just in general?
Well, I think it could apply in general, but certainly it happens on Valentine's Day quite a bit.
I agree. I mean, again, so much of our, and I guess it goes to the Taylor Swift, the all-important Taylor Swift conversation.
Everything comes back to Taylor Swift. That's all you ever need to know.
That's all you need to know. Time Magazine's Woman of the Year, Person of the Year.
Person of the Year. Man, she beat out all the men. See, there's a woman. I'm telling you, if she was wrestling right now, she'd be the champ.
She would, totally. But how much of it is programmed? Again, I contend that majority of our culture is manipulated and programmed into who you follow, who you will like, what you will, you know, appreciate, whether it be sports or whatever. And not to say there aren't valid, you know, reasons for liking all those things. I'm not saying that. But look at the consumerism within all of our holidays, including Valentine's Day. So everybody has been programmed and conditioned that if you do not participate, and you do not spend all this money on, you know, Valentine's Day gifts for the person that you're with, then you're somehow an outcast. You know, and they just pick the day. I mean, it's not like this goes back time immemorial, where, you know, cavemen were bringing diamonds to, you know, cave woman on February 14th. So, I don't know. I reject that. I think that you should show your loved ones that you love them year-round, and you should do acts of kindness and not be compelled on a particular day when the powers that be tell you you need to act a certain way.
Well, it's fascinating on the whole, because I think that I just don't know if people are naive or if people are... You know, I don't know if I said it the other day. I can't remember if I said it here on this show or if I said it last night with Matt and Carrington. But over New Year's, you know, I saw a lot of people getting engaged and a lot of people getting married. And it was fascinating to me, and God bless them. You know, whatever they want to do, let them do it. But they always, you know, show the ring or they show the wedding pictures, and it's always... she said yes, or he said yes, or look what happened, blah, blah, blah. And I keep thinking to myself, you know, this person's been multiple times in multiple relationships and married multiple times. I'd be more shocked if they said no.
This time is going to be different, Scott.
This time's going to, you know, this is the one, and I've never met anybody like you before, and yeah, all that. And I always think, I don't think they wouldn't post it if they realized how ridiculous that looks. And how many eye rolls are probably, and maybe they don't care. I mean, maybe in the end they're just swept up in love and wonderfulness. I mean, maybe that's it. But gosh, it just, I couldn't do that. Even if I loved somebody endlessly and thought that they were the one, I would never do that because it looks very hypocritical once you get past a certain age and do that after it just it's very strange to me.
Well, they're seeking affirmation and they'll get it. If they post that on social media, they will get reaction and they'll get that dopamine hit when they see that like come up, because how many people are going to tell them the truth? You know, because it's going to come off negative.
I don't think we've ever had this. So I'm interested to get your point of view on this, because I've had this conversation before. But and if you look at my social media, it's 99% promoting what's going on the radio or something we've done at the radio station. That's what I use it for, and I think that's how it is to be used.
You don't have any fish lip selfies?
No, and I'm working on that in the new year.
Oh, good.
I know. But the point is that I do compliment people from the radio station when they do a good job, because I'm not with those people 24/7. I don't spend – so if I have a good time with them, I say it. What's confusing to me is that if I was married to somebody or I was in a relationship, why would I feel compelled to go to social media to tell people how great they are? That's odd to me.
I agree, but – that's what they want, that affirmation, and whether or not they're seeking it because in reality they don't get it in their real life. So if they can get it in their digital life, then that is enough for them.
I know a lot of people are pressured. Now, they'll never admit to that, but I know a lot of people will say, why didn't you do this? Or they'll get the feeling from that person, why didn't you do this? Because I don't know what the point would be. And if anybody has any difference of why you would do this with work people and not with people you're in relationships with, the reason is because the work people, you can dislike work people. You know, you can say, boy, that person's doing a terrible job. So I think pointing out something they do good is different, because you're not mandated to do that. If you're in a relationship, I'm 99% sure that you probably are going to say something good. If you say something bad, I think we'd all blink a little bit.
Right. And some people do that. If you see how many people will air, like, fights and that sort of thing, domestic squabbles, that's another thing that gets me. I'm like, why would you do that? You know, don't you value privacy at all and keeping anything sacred, but you're airing your dirty laundry with your spouse or significant other on social media? Do you ever see that, Scott?
I do. You know, and this is why, as I've said before, I'm not against marriage at all. If people want to get married, knock themselves out. But I do believe that there should be a law, coming back to Governor DeWine here. See, this could be a great thing for Governor DeWine. I think what Governor DeWine should do is pass a law that it takes, once you decide you're going to get married, you have a 7-month waiting period before you can buy the engagement ring. So you can actually think about this and see if you're making the right decision or not.
Oh, that would be quite a piece of legislation.
And maybe go under some psychological testing as well. I think it'd be good. Hey, thanks for calling.
All right, Scott. Have a good one.
All right. Phone lines are open. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. 57 minutes past the hour. By the way, I do want to let you know that Matt Morgan's show, his own show, premieres tomorrow, 10:15 a.m. I do think he has a guest lined up for that show. So you're not going to want to miss that. And oddly enough, I think it has to do with sports. So 10:15 tomorrow morning. So I'll be on 8 to 10 tomorrow. Matt will be on 10 to 11. Pastor Craig, 11 to 12. All of us together, 12 to 1, Pastor Craig, 1 to 2, and then Carrington, Matt, and I tomorrow night, 8 to 10. Always a full day here on Friday at the station. Voice of a People with Linda Sims comes up when I'm done today, 10:15 until 12 noon. And then we also have Adam the Computer Guy from 12 to 1 today. You don't want to miss that. But the phone lines are open. We can probably get one more call in here. 58 and a half minutes past the hour, 26 degrees and cloudy skies. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Conversation. You know, that last conversation went from female wrestlers to people identifying as a different gender to money, to Valentine's Day, to marriage, to cooling off period. Wouldn't that be great if people had a cooling off period? You know, I think most things need a cooling off period. If you're going to make a major life decision, I think you should have to think about it for a long time. Not to say you can't do it, but I think you got to think about it. Because clearly, some people's choosing skills are not good. Some people have character defects. We wish they didn't, but life has proven out other things. And heaven knows I've got my problems. I've got my problems too. I certainly am not clear in this situation. But luckily, because I have a show, I can point out other people's problems. All the thing to have a microphone. All right. Well, I hope you've enjoyed the show this morning. Hope you've had a lot of fun. I've had a lot of fun. Linda Sims coming up next. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
You're listening to The Talking Place from Charlie Evers.
You know, you could come in handy, too, with that electricity if we have problems with our transmitter, which is above you. Yeah. All you'd have to do is raise your hands and energize our transmitter.
To formerly of WNCI, Weasel Boy, is that true? I've never asked that question on air before, by the way, but...
I can tell.
I wasn't even sure how to word